Chapter 115. The Taboo. He grasped his pounding head and fell to the ground. Then, in an explosion of agony, he felt the rage that did not belong to him possess his soul, saw a long room lit only by firelight, and the giant blonde Death Eater on the floor, screaming and writhing, and a slighter figure standing over him, wand outstretched, while Harry spoke in a high, cold, merciless voice. "More, Raoul, or shall we end it and feed you to Nagini? Lord Voldemort is not sure that he will forgive this time. You called me for this? To tell me that Harry Potter has escaped again? Draco, give Raoul another taste of our displeasure. Do it, or feel my wrath yourself!" A log fell in the fire. Flames reared, their light darting across a terrified, pointed white face. Harry drew his love around him like wings of fire, for Sirius and Ron and Hermione, and yes, even Snape still, and thought carefully and clearly into the darkness between their minds.
"You should really work on your occlumency, you know. Aren't you supposed to be a grown-up?"
"Crucio," Draco said, softly and clearly, and the man on the ground writhed again. "You brought back nothing for me," Voldemort said, apparently ignoring Harry. The man on the ground babbled apologies. Draco, eyes never leaving his task, said, "I did retrieve a girl I thought could be useful, my lord, but not regarding Potter. Her name is Luna Lovegood, and she is the daughter of the owner of the Quibbler."
"I have heard that name before."
"She's engaged to Gregory Goyle."
"We shall have to teach her what is expected from a woman who is a part of a decent family."
"I gave her to my mother, my lord." Voldemort seemed to consider this for a few moments. "Avada Kedavra," Voldemort said. And Raoul was dead. Just like that. Harry wished he could close his eyes.
"Harry Potter is visiting us tonight because he is still alive. Do you have anything to say for yourself, Draco?"
Draco cringed away.
"You would be a powerful weapon if you could only locate your spine. You are dismissed."
Harry dropped away from the vision, fighting the pull of the anger that still flared through his scar, and was back in the darkness of the Forest of Dean. "Harry? Harry?" It was Ron. "Ron, we don't have to move again, I don't think. Can we talk about this in the morning?" They had to talk about it that night. Not that they got anywhere. All still too tired and battle-weary for anything but babbling and falling asleep mid-word. They slept very late the next morning and dawdled around their new campsite. Hermione even demonstrated the anti-tracking wards she'd put together, and Harry demonstrated his eavesdropper detection spell. Figuring out which spells should be added to the campsite became the problem of the day, though Hermione walled herself off around lunchtime to read the tales of Beedle the Bard, and Ron and Harry spent the next few hours arguing about Ron's owl. Ron, for obvious reasons, wanted to warn his family about the taboo. Harry wanted to warn Sirius, and also not lose Ron's owl to a cutting curse. Harry also wanted to lead an assault on Malfoy Manor, which met with equal parts disbelief and anger from both Ron and Hermione. After all, hadn't Harry learned anything the last time? The only thing that running after hostages would do was to have him take more hostages. It wasn't that they were truly angry with each other. It was that they were all adjusting to the idea that there wouldn't be a teacher to swoop in to whisk them off to a hospital wing, or a parent to scold them for running into trouble. There was just more trouble, day after day, and no way to tell what was happening in the wizarding world. "The problem is," Hermione said over afternoon tea, prepared around a small blue fire, "I think this was the plan. The Order is the decoy, the larger threat of adult wizards. We are the sneak attack coming around from the back, that no one really believes will be a threat because we're kids. We're not supposed to have contact with the Order, I don't think." I could really grow to hate Dumbledore's plans, Harry said, and took a meditative sip of his tea. The problem is, I think it might be a rather good plan, said Hermione. So what? We just focus on the Horcruxes while our friends and family are attacked? Tortured? Unless you want Vol- Don't say it! Yelled Ron. Hermione looked down into her tea. Sorry. It's all right, said Ron, relaxing slowly back into his seat. It'll just be my job to remind you to. You were saying? Harry asked after an awkward pause. Unless we want him coming back when our children are grown up and having them fight him, Hermione said quietly, someone has to deal with the Horcruxes. We've got time, clues, supplies. No one else has any of those. We'd have to swing back by Grimmauld Place if we want basilisk fangs, Harry commented. I haven't carried them around since one of them melted a hole in its wrapping and halfway through the dragon skin around that. They're all in a big stone box there now. Did Snape know about them? Asked Ron. No, Harry said after a moment. I never did have a reason to mention it to him. I thought he'd say something snide about swanning my way into danger again. Good, said Ron. Ron had still not forgiven Snape for Dumbledore. Since Hermione and Harry hadn't either, they didn't argue. In the end, the only message they dared send was via the DA coins, which now read, Taboo. Say name of YNW and DE summoned. Spread word. Realistically, the only person they'd managed to warn was Neville.